If you have your Bibles, go with me today to the book of Matthew, if you would, Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to kind of move our way through this book a little bit today, so keep your Bibles open. Carl and I had a great week this week because little Bentley was in town all week long. How many know the whole world revolves around little Bentley all of a sudden? I kept saying to Caleb and Whitney, we'd sit there, and I mean a half hour had passed by, and all we're doing is sitting on the floor watching a nine-month-old who's the center of the universe. You know, it was just incredible. But they fly home today to get back to work tomorrow, and we're just going to miss them. But it was a wonderful week. How many know grandchildren are a gift? You can just spoil them and send them away. Isn't it great? She'd go into those fits. I just handed her right back over. I'm done. You know, I'm grandpa. It was wonderful. If you would look to the screen and take your outline out, by the way, to follow along today. But let's look to the screen. I'd like us to read this together out loud. It's from the NIV, Colossians 1:13. And it somewhat frames, if you will, for me, everything that I want us to capture from our message this morning. How many of you know my messages are very short anyway? Thank you for that, amen. That was Terry. I like that, man. Thank you. But this really encapsulates what I want us to capture. Let's read it together out loud, and as we read the Word of God, let's read it with authority and strength and belief and faith. Would you read it with me? For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. One more time, let's read it. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Just one little verse, powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. Look at some of the words here. He has rescued. The word means that He has delivered or saved us out of the dominion. That word has to do with jurisdiction, out of the authority of darkness, a sphere dominated by evil or even by evil spirits. And He has brought us into, that word has to do with removing something or someone, bringing us into, seeing a change in something or someone, into what? Into the kingdom. The word means a sovereignty, into the royal authority of the Son in which He loves. Our salvation in Jesus is an amazing thing, is it not? That's all we can muster up in the early service. Our salvation is amazing, is it not? Amen. Amen. Praise God for what He does in Jesus. And I think many times it's more than you and I contemplate or even remember. Sometimes we may have to go all the way back. I think of the song the choir just sang and just the joy of come and go with me to my Father's house. But many times we kind of lose the joy and we kind of forget what it first was to experience those kind of things. And you know, so many things that happen in life, daily things. Many times that we experience on the surface, they can seem so simplistic or trite. And yet when you peel back that veneer and you see what's gone into it to make that thing happen, you realize there is so much happening than just that single event. I think of a wedding. We went yesterday and our middle daughter bought her wedding dress as the family was all together. And we had just a great time celebrating that. But already, I mean, Michaela, she gets married next May and you think it was this week. She's got everything so laid out, but how many know there's a lot of details that go into those kind of events? You look at general counsel a week ago, and we enjoy the services, the business sessions, the different events, but there is so much work. Is that not true, Sharon? There's so much work that went into that general counsel and your team, but did a great job. I think the same is true of our salvation. We can look at it just on its surface and many times fail to remember. And Paul here underscores the absolute radical nature of what it is for you and I to be saved. We sometimes look at it just a simple prayer and a moment of decision at an altar. And that just might imply how much we underestimate what God is doing at that very moment. Because Paul says here, there is a critical thing that happens when we become children of God. It's a transferring. We are being moved from one authority to another, from one domain to another. And the transferring, with it comes a radical change in our lives, or else we are not truly saved. We will know, Jesus said, you know a man by his fruit. We will know by the fruit of our lives if this has really, really happened to us. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself. out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. How many know that is a radical thing that Paul says happens? Praise God. We've spent a few weeks now looking at the life of Jesus. We moved in the New Testament, saw the tying of all of that thread of the Old Testament as it brings us now into the New. And we recognize that really all of it points to Jesus. And we looked then at the life of John the Baptist from the perspective of the writer John, the apostle John. But today I want you to look in Matthew's gospel. And again, we're going to move through just a little bit here to just tie some of the connective points of Jesus' life and ministry. But beginning with John the Baptist, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He says it this way, Matthew writes, "In those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And after this, Matthew goes on to describe John's ministry and then how he baptized Jesus in water. Jesus came out of the water, the Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." What a moment. And then we move on to chapter 4, and Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And we come down to verse 17, if you want to follow along in your Bibles today. Verse 17, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" The same words of John. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the miraculous aspect of Jesus' life, how he proved his deity through his miracles that he did. And we noted the combination or that connection between words and works. What Jesus said, it was powerful, it was authoritative, and what he did was miraculous, it was supernatural. And he came to his disciples at the very end there, in that upper room, that upper room discourse in John 13 through 17, and he told them, "If you don't believe in me, at least believe in what you've seen me do." Because to Jesus, his words and his works went together, all verifying to them that he was the Messiah. And you'll notice Matthew records the very same thing here. Drop your eyes on down to verse 23. It says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." This was Jesus' ministry. He taught and he preached and he performed miracles. Again, words and works. He met human needs. And a matter of fact, look at how Matthew goes on to describe it, verse 24, that news began to spread all throughout Syria, and people were brought to him who were sick in body and with various diseases, who were suffering in severe pain and demon-possessed, those having seizures and were paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds would gather from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, the region across the Jordan. They all came and followed him. But notice the message that Jesus brought, along with the miracles that he did. The message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Turn over to chapter 10 if you have your Bibles open. Chapter 10, Jesus is now sending out the 12 disciples. And many of you remember this occasion well. This is a kind of a watershed moment in the ministry of Jesus, and he's now commissioning those disciples to go forward. Look at verse number 7. He said to them, "As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely now give." So we have John the Baptist, we have Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, and then we have him empowering his disciples. All of them come with the very same message. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. If we were to back up and just scan through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that we looked at extensively a year ago or so, you would note there that Jesus constantly refers to the kingdom. Poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom. Those who are persecuted, theirs is the kingdom. Twice he mentions those that will not enter into the kingdom. He tells them to seek first the kingdom. He taught them to pray not only that the will of God would be done in the earth, but that the kingdom of God would be done in the earth or seen in the earth. Then we turn on over to chapter 13, and that's where I'd like for you to turn, if you will, quickly. And stay here for just a moment. Jesus opens up with the parable of the sower. Many of you remember it well. The man that went forth, the farmer sowing his seed, and some of that seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up, and some of that seed then fell on rocky, hard soil, and other parts of that seed fell, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and then some of it fell in good soil, and it produced a crop of a 30, 60, and 100 fold. Pick it up, verse number 9 then. Jesus is done with this parable, and he makes a statement that is made so many times in the Gospels and again in the book of Revelation. Jesus wants us to listen. He says, verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples said to him, they came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. And then he goes on to quote Isaiah, saying that the people will see, but they will not really see. And they'll hear, but they really won't hear. And their hearts will become callous and hard against God. And then look at what he says to his disciples, verse 16. He says, but as to you, disciples, blessed are you for your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about, say it with me, about the kingdom. He finishes verse 9, the parable of the sower. And he says, he who has ears, let him listen. Verse 10, they say, why do you speak in these parables? Verse 11, he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom are given to you. And then he tells them how incredibly blessed they are as a generation, that it has been, as we followed the thread, that there were so many that longed to see and hear what you disciples are seeing and hearing and beginning now to understand. If your Bible's before you, you'll note there he moves into seven parables then next. What are they all about? They're all about the kingdom. Seven different parables. And each one begins, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer that went out and sowed good seed, and then the enemy came and sowed bad seeds in among the good seeds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that is just so small, but is planted, and then it grew into a great tree. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who puts leaven into her flour, and it works its way all the way through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is hidden in a field, and when a man finds that treasure, he goes and sells everything that he owns in order to buy that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who finds one pearl of great price, and he goes and sells everything that he has because he wants to purchase that pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that's thrown into the sea, and they gather it in on the seashore, and then they go through and they divide and they get rid of that is good or bad, and they hold and keep that is good. The kingdom of heaven is like a master in his own house who brings out his treasures, both good or bad, both rather old and new, for those to see. There's much more about the kingdom, but I want you to note here in chapter 13 that as Jesus begins to teach parables, he teaches the kingdom. He teaches the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And there's much more of that. And then we can come all the way to chapter 24, if you'd want to turn there, verse 14. Many of you know this verse well. Jesus is now talking about the end times. He's talking about the future of Jerusalem, how one day it's going to become desolate again. He talks about persecution that's going to come, and he also talks about when he's going to return again. And in the midst of it all, Jesus says this, verse 14, and this kingdom or gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. How many of you are glad for missionaries? Amen. They're part of this, but you know what? Without you, they don't go. Without us supporting, they don't go. Without prayer, they don't make it. And many a missionary here today, or you've gone to missions before, you know what it feels like. Mike mentioned the power of praying for one another. We know the power of praying for those that go. And Jesus said that the gospel of the kingdom is going to go to all the nations. And once that happens, the end is going to come. Then that fateful night, just not long after this, he's in that upper room with his disciples. He's breaking bread with them. They're drinking of that cup. And he said to them, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. How many realize kingdom has an awful lot to do with what we're here for today? All throughout the Gospels, kingdom. Years ago, I was called out to a farmhouse, small little house. The girl that lived there, a young lady, was single, and she was scared. She was a brand new believer, come to our church and gotten saved. Just a phenomenal story of redemption in her life. And I remember going there with one of the associate pastors to go with me. And on the way there, I just had time there to download what was happening. And so we went into the house because she said for many, many nights, almost in sequence, she began to have the same thing happen to her. And she was a new Christian. This scared her. But she said she would wake up in the middle of the night and she would sense something in her room or in the hallway. And more than once she looked and she literally saw some type of something that she literally could physically see with her eyes, and she knew it was evil. And she knew it just frightened her. And she said, I'd throw the covers over my head and I just begin to pray. That's all that I needed to do, Pastor Jeff. That's all I needed to do. And so we prayed with her and we received communion together. We went room to room and we just prayed. And we took time, about an hour or so, and just had her explain fully in this little farmhouse. But her fears and being all alone and being a new believer in Christ, and yet now this is breaking loose in her house. And so we prayed and we left. And I checked in with her a few times. Everything was fine. All of a sudden, here it came again. And that same event was happening over and over again. I said, we'll just come right back out. And I brought one of the other pastors, because how many know the other one wasn't going to work? I'm just kidding. But I asked for one of the other guys to go with me. We went out there and we took communion again. This time I took more time. And we went through the Word together. And we prayed in the Holy Spirit together, because she was just newly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I let her know there is power when you pray in the Holy Spirit. And we prayed in the Spirit, and we took communion together, and we just covered that house again, and we prayed and we believed, and I talked to her weeks to come, and nothing had happened again. And I talked to her years later, and she said it never happened again after that second time we went to that house. Now that has everything to do with what we're looking at today. Matter of fact, that woman, to God's glory today, she's one of our AGW missionaries that we support right here from Central. And you know, she's fighting battles today that are so much bigger than that first little battle she had to fight in her home. And how many know the enemy's after her, wants to destroy her right now as much as he did right then? He was just trying to scare a fresh little baby Christian. But how many of you know greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world? And so we take the blood and we apply the power. We sang it earlier, the name of Jesus. And so I know today she is battling much greater battles than she did then. But that was a great little baby step for her to realize there is an enemy that is still at work. There is a battle within two kingdoms as we look at her story. And this message from both the Messiah, Jesus, and from his forerunner, John the Baptist, was a message saying that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was at hand. What was taking place in that gal's life was a struggle between two kingdoms. Evil was not wanting to let go. Even though she was saved, even though she knew who she was in Jesus, there was something the enemy was trying to do to rattle her. 2 weeks ago, I told you the story of the young woman in Curacao that I sat on that porch with our missions team of college age and high school age kids, and she sat there telling the story of her demon possession since a little girl, when her parents took her to Haiti and she was led out in a graveyard and she drank some kind of substance. And from that moment forward, her life was never the same. And it grew worse and worse as she continued through her teen years. And then about the age of 18 or 19, God gave her, as I told the story that morning, amazing deliverance by the power of God. And she was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And there, years later, to sit on that porch and tell us the story of her deliverance, it was phenomenal. But see, these two women's story illustrate for you and I today graphically that when we come into Jesus Christ, we are rescued from the dominion of darkness and we are transferred into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, into Jesus' kingdom. The word there, dominion, again means authority. It means jurisdiction. Think of that today. It means the domain of darkness or the jurisdiction of darkness. That is what we are taken out of. We are brought out of that. It's what you and I understand when we travel overseas and we hand a passport to that officer and he looks us up and down and he takes out his stamp. And I've been there with you before at times that I was a little bit concerned. And I'm so glad when finally, boom, he stamps my passport. Man, I'm out of there quick as I can be. How many know what I'm talking about? In case you have any concerns, because you know what? It's his jurisdiction. He has authority over that area that you're entering into. And so you're waiting to get your passport stamped that you can move forward. Paul saw a person coming to faith in Christ as more than a simple prayer. More than just you and I praying, leaving out these doors and that's it, and we just kind of move on in life. There's a radical change in who owns you. There's a radical change in your jurisdiction that you are under, the authority of those that you are under. It's a deliverance from darkness into light. It's a saving out of the authority of one into being brought into the authority of the other. And this is what Jesus came to do. And it takes you and I back to the thread today. Because until Jesus walked the earth, there had never been a man without sin to walk the earth except for one. And he's known as the first Adam, because before the fall, there was no sin. And so Adam and Eve enjoyed that amazing relationship with God in Genesis chapter 2. Imagine the perfection, the peace, the joy, the friendship, the communion that they had with God. As later God is seen walking in the cool of the day, I'm sure that was just the norm for them. Imagine what a beautiful, perfect setting. And then there's that statement at the close of chapter 2 of Genesis that is an interesting statement. But he says that they were both naked and they felt no shame. We all understand why that statement's there. But what a commentary on how it was before sin corrupted everything, even the beauty of the human body. All under God's authority. And God turned and gave dominion then. He gave the authority to Adam. And God, who had created the earth, put Adam in charge. Adam was king. But then the key to his authority was that Adam would stay connected, if you will, to the God who created all things. That he would stay in communion in that beautiful, sinless relationship that he had with God. But then sin came in. And when sin came in, Adam lost his place of authority. He lost the domain that he had. Matter of fact, as Paul writes in Romans, when Adam sinned, we all sin. When Adam loses his place of dominion, we lose our place of dominion. And who took that dominion but Satan did in that decision? And that's why Paul calls Satan the god of this world. It's why on another occasion, Paul calls him the god of this age. It's why, if you recall, when Jesus was tempted there in Matthew 4, that the enemy took him up, and it says he showed him all the kingdoms of the entire world and said, if you will bow down to me, I will give you all of these kingdoms. And what did Jesus say? You'll notice, he did not say, you don't have that authority, Satan. That's not what he said. Instead, he said, I will only worship the Lord my God. He quoted him that scripture. He did not correct the enemy that those were not his kingdoms to give. Jesus simply said, away from me, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, those kingdoms were intact. Satan is the god of this world. And history bears record of what it is to be under the domain of Satan. Aren't we a messed up world today? Haven't we always been a messed up world? And you look at what it is to be under the jurisdiction of the evil one. And we watch empires that rise and fall and the spiritual moral condition of our world. And any wonder then that when Satan recognized that Jesus was coming upon the scene, what he would do would be to tempt him to somehow to get him to fall, because he had a good sense that things were changing in our world. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. And knowing Satan even had the audacity to quote scripture. How many of you know Satan knows scripture? So he used scripture against Jesus. Can you imagine that? That always kind of makes me mad. Does that make you mad a little bit? But he literally used the Bible to the Son of God The written word of God to the living word of God. He used the scripture. And what did the Lord do? But he in turn just brought scripture right back. Satan knew good and well the thread. Satan knew what you and I have been following. He knew Abraham and Moses and Israel and David. He knew what was coming. He knew the prophets' writings. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes upon the scene. And that's why Satan did all he could do to stop him. He tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. Before Jesus' birth, he incited King Herod for infanticide to kill every Jewish male child. Satan knew he wanted to stop what? He wanted to stop the Messiah because he wanted to stop the kingdom that would come with him. That was John's message. It was Jesus' message. It was the disciples' message as they went forth. And Jesus not only spoke it, but he manifested it everywhere he went. And then he commissioned his disciples to do the very same things that he did. Preach the message of the kingdom. See miracles in people's lives. See people set free from demon possession and oppression. Let those living in darkness see a great light. And what happened? But those disciples went forth, and we read in the Gospel of Luke that they came back, and they were rejoicing because look at what's happening as they went forward in the power that Jesus gave them, that authority. The kingdom of heaven was at hand and was invading the darkness. What they didn't realize is that was just a little test run. That was just something that was happening along the way of the cross. Jesus hadn't even finished his work yet. And then he would go to the cross. He would die for the sins of all humanity. He would swing wide open the door that any who believe in him can come into the family of God, but also into the kingdom of God. And it would begin with those disciples. But through them, that kingdom would go, and they would then lead others into the kingdom. You talk about a watershed moment in the history of the world. It's that when Jesus came, the kingdom of heaven came to this earth. And you began to have a collision of kingdoms like never before. It's really fascinating. The way the Gospels open is with the kingdom. John the Baptist, the kingdom. Jesus, the kingdom. The kingdom all the way through. And how does it end? But they're going forward to bring the message of the kingdom. And then we come into Acts chapter 1, and what happens? But Jesus is just resurrected, and he spends 40 days. And what does he do? He teaches them about the kingdom. And then they go forward, and the kingdom advances all the way through the book of Acts. And here's how it ends in chapter 28. Paul the apostle is sitting there, and the scripture says he is under house arrest, but he's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kingdom to kingdom, kingdom to kingdom. Tell me, when does Acts end? Did it end about 1900 years ago? Oh, no. We still have the Acts of the apostles right now, don't we? We're still living. That church is continuing. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. He gave the keys of the kingdom to those disciples. He gives you and I the authority. We are to go forward. Every commissioning service we have when a missionary is going forth, every graduation of one of our schools or our seminaries, whenever they are headed out into ministry, there is that sense of commissioning in the authority that is granted them of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who has his kingdom. So let me just make three quick applications for you, and we'll close today. And bear with me in my throat. It's that horrible Orlando weather. Could I hear any man this morning? Number one, kingdom people believe in the sovereignty of God, but understand the ongoing spiritual struggle until all things are brought to completion. See, follow this. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many of you wish when Jesus brought the kingdom, it was just his kingdom and everything else, and the battle ended right there? Don't you kind of wish that sometimes? How many of you know, though, we were part of that battle? We were part of that dominion that we were released from and transferred over into. Every one of us have gone through that battle that have received Jesus. You might be here today and you're on the fence of that. And I would encourage you to welcome Jesus to come in, because you are either under the jurisdiction of light and of God's kingdom, or you're under the jurisdiction of darkness. There's no in between. Everyone wants to think there's in between. There's no in between. And so as you and I look at this, we believe in the sovereignty of God. I can't wait for the day that we begin to see the events of Revelation unfold in the very closing chapters, that we know the kingdom of our God and our Lord has come into this earth once and for all. And then Satan is bound for 1,000 years, released again, and then he's put back into the pit, a bottomless pit for all of eternity. I can't wait for that day, and he knows it's coming. God is sovereign. But yet we realize still we wrestle. There's an ongoing struggle. It's almost as if the kingdom is here, and yet we're still waiting for the kingdom. It's almost as if it's here, but one day it's going to arrive fully. And friends, hear me today. This is why we pray. It's why prayer is so powerful. It's why we put on our spiritual armor on a daily basis. It's why we are spiritually aware of what's happening, how the enemy is working and weaving and constantly, because his kingdom is still out there, but we are part of a kingdom that will never fail, and a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and a kingdom that we look forward to ultimately being consummated one day in this earth. Can't you wait for that day? It's why when I received an email from a missionary this week saying, pray for that school, with all those Muslim children and now the Christians being driven out to no longer get to teach there, and it's been almost a year-long struggle. He said, please keep praying. We pray because we know we're in a spiritual battle and struggle. If God's will was always done in earth, you'd have no 9/11s. If God's will was always done in earth, there'd be no suffering. If God's will was always done on earth, if his kingdom rule was complete in this earth, there would be no human trafficking. There'd be no perversion. There'd be no sickness. There'd be no... But instead, we see this tension and this battle, and the kingdom of God is within us, and the kingdom of God is here. But oh, one day, it's going to fully, at the consummation of all things, there'll be the rule and the reign. Don't you look forward to that day? We look forward to it. Second thing quickly is this. Kingdom people believe in the finished work of Jesus, but they understand the continuing role we play in extending it to others. See, a danger we have is we talk finished work of Jesus so much that we fail to realize he still wants us to finish his work. See, it's easy for us to kind of sit back on our laurels sometimes as a church and just wait. Oh, the kingdom, I have the kingdom, the kingdom's within me. We're part of the kingdom, and we just wait for glory. But you know what? The king of the kingdom is saying, please go out and exercise your authority. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. Go and heal the sick. Go and see people filled with my spirit. Go and push back the darkness. It's not over. And yet to many, we're just waving flags, saying we just can't wait for Jesus to come back. Oh, no. No, we recognize today he finished his work, but we understand we play a continuing role in seeing his kingdom expanded. See, Jesus could have just gone as a sinless man to a cross and it be done. But instead, Jesus modeled for us what he wanted us to be and to do. He taught us, he showed us his way of the kingdom. He spent 40 days then with them after his resurrection because he wanted them to go forward with his kingdom. Many of them thought right then and there is now the day that the kingdom is going to be established in the earth, and Israel once again is going to be a fulfillment of everything that Isaiah and the prophet Ezekiel and others wrote about it. And Jesus said, that's up to the Father, but as for you, go and be clothed with power from on high because I want you to go forward with my kingdom. See, it's a struggle Jesus knew was ahead. Oh, they wanted it to be over. But you and I realize today, Jesus finished his work, and yet there's a continuing role that you and I play to move the kingdom forward in this earth. The book of Acts is our example. What did the church do but continue to see that kingdom expand? That's what Central Assembly is all about today. Could I hear an amen? That's what we must be about. The third thing as we close is a kingdom people believe in God's rule over all things, but they invite his rule to govern every aspect of their lives until Jesus comes. See, this struggle remains even in us. We have to die daily, don't we? We have to die to that old flesh, don't we? The dominion, many times, there's that struggle. Paul writes about it in Romans. You say, why is there even any struggle? The kingdom of God is here. But Paul said, oh, there's that old battle between the flesh and the spirit. And he talks about it in Romans 6, 7, and 8, again, Galatians 5 and 6. because there's that battle. That's why, you know what? We need to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. That's true for you and I to pray over our lives. Men here today, especially hear me, to pray over our minds that we have pure thoughts. Oh, let his kingdom rule be over our minds, over our relationships, over our marriages, over our families, in our church, to pray the kingdom of God in our city, to pray the kingdom of God in our community. This is not a dominion theology that some of you know I'm talking about. I'm not speaking about that. I'm saying we are still living in the kingdom age right now of the church, that we are to see God's kingdom expand in this community. We're to see his kingdom expand. How does it happen? As he transforms one life after another, saving them and taking them out of the dominion of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Pastor David, that is what your ministry is all about here at Central Assembly. That's what we look and drive our nearby roads and streets here. It doesn't matter where you're at. As this week I was down and enjoyed Silver Dollar City, and I'm just walking with people, and I turn to one of the kids, somebody with me, and I just see, you know, I look at some people. Don't you see the lostness? And you know why? Because they're under the dominion of darkness. And my heart was burned. I want to see them into the kingdom of light, don't you? That's what we're to be about. So let's close with this thread. The thread of me today, it's a little bit lengthy. I'm gonna ask you just to read it quietly. But if you'll read right along with me and a little bit slowly, and let it saturate our hearts, and then we'll close today. Say it with me if you will. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me out of the darkness and establishing me in your kingdom through your Son. Let's say that again. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me out of darkness and establishing me in your kingdom through your Son. I believe you have empowered me by your Spirit to be a part of the advancement of that kingdom in this earth. I welcome your rule in every single area of my life, and I look forward to the day of its full consummation when Jesus Christ returns and you bring all things to a close. And everybody said amen this morning. Any area of your life today, think about it, that is not under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. Is there anything in your life? You think, oh, but I'm a child of God. But you realize you're not living as a child of God in that area. You need to bring it under the rulership. That's what when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we are inviting the rule and reign of God into our lives, into those circumstances, into that marriage, whatever it may be. Is there anyone that you look at in your life, a neighbor, a friend, a relative, someone very close to you, and you look at them and you realize that God's rule is not there, that they're being destroyed by the enemy? Do you know that's the power of prayer? And that is why we intercede for others. It's because we have to take to task the enemy that is winning in their lives, but the power of intercession is so great. And so we get on our knees and we plead with God and we stand on their behalf. You may need to do that today. Maybe you've never opened your heart. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, be the Lord and ruler of my life. And that's what the struggle is. But I tell you what, at my age, 51 years of age, and I look back, and I'm so glad for the years I have. And I'd never look back. I'd never want to go back to not being under the rule of Jesus. Doesn't mean that things don't happen to you that you may not like, or bad things, hard things, trials. But he's king and he's ruling. And he brings peace and he carries us through, as we looked at earlier. And in the end, he's going to safely deliver us into the eternal kingdom. But maybe you've never opened yourself up to his kingdom rule right now. That's what the cross invites us to. The cross is where you and I not only receive forgiveness of sins, but we say this: Lord, take me out of darkness and bring me into light. Take me out from the dominion of sin and set me free and empower me by the Holy Spirit that I don't have to live there any longer. That's what giving our heart to Jesus does. Maybe that's you today. I'm going to invite you and give you a moment right now that you could ask Jesus into your heart and life to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes with me. Just quickly. Time is of essence. But could we pray right now? And you might be here saying, you know, I think I've done this before, but I have to admit, I don't know if I fully have allowed the rule of God in my life. And there's that battle that's raging in your life Today could be a great day for you to say once and for all, I want to be in the kingdom of light and invite Jesus to come and change you from the inside out and to receive his life-giving flow and let him transfer you, bring you out of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. As we pray this prayer, I'm going to invite many of us here today that we pray this as a child. You know, we can lose sight of that sometimes. It's almost like we think we're grandfathered into the kingdom, but we're not. Each one of us on our own accord, we have to bow our knee and bow our heart and our will and our tongue to Jesus and make him King and Lord. And maybe in just a fresh commitment of your life, you would pray this prayer with me this morning. Can we pray it together? Let's do it, if you will. Just pray these words. Dear God, I believe you are sovereign, creator of all things in heaven and on earth. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to this earth. God came in flesh and went to the cross. A sinless man died for my sins. And I know that I've sinned, and I ask for your forgiveness today. Cleanse my heart. Change me, God. Deliver me from my sin. Take me out of the darkness and bring me into the light of your kingdom and the Son that you love. I invite the Holy Spirit to come into my heart for you to rule and reign from this moment forward in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen today. Now, if you will, just in this moment, take one moment, and I want you to picture the book of Acts. Jesus is resurrected, chapter 1, and he's ascended. Chapter 2, they go and he empowers them with the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And you begin in chapter 3 and there are miracles. And you begin later and we move into chapters 11 and 12 and the church in chapter 13, they are sending out the apostles. They come back in chapter 15 to sort through some matters. And then from chapter 16 on, we see the book of Acts, the expansion of the kingdom of God in this earth. And you realize today as an Assemblies of God church, we are but a small part of such a great kingdom. Now, can you just in your own heart right now, just praise God for how vast his kingdom is, how great that kingdom is, that nothing will stop that kingdom, that we are part of an unshakable kingdom, and yet look forward as well, that Jesus is coming back. And one day he is going to establish that kingdom in this earth for that 1,000-year rule and reign. How many look forward to that? Would you say amen this morning? We say amen to you, Lord. Let's stand together. We say amen to you, Lord. We say even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, Lord, we have loved ones that are away from you. In the meantime, Lord, our marriages may be struggling right now. In the meantime, Lord, we may have children that are astray. In the meantime, Lord, there may be difficulties and circumstances. And so today, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord, to let your kingdom come and your will be done in situations and matters that care to our hearts, Lord. We invite the rule and reign in our own lives right now, Lord. It may be a sin that we're struggling with. It may be something that we can't seem to overcome. We right now say, Jesus, come and rule and reign in my life. Go ahead. Just say, Lord, come, rule and reign in my life. Get rid of that anger issue. Help me with my words and my tongue. Help me with that lust situation. Help me, Lord, with that pure thoughts, whatever it may be. Lord, we want you to rule and to reign over us. We pray it as a church today. Would you lift up Central to the Lord right now? God, we pray for your rule and your reign at Central Assembly over everything, every heart, every life, over us as an entity, Lord. We pray the rule and reign over our church. We pray it over our movement of the Assemblies of God. We pray it, Lord, over the missionaries that are out there all around this world, throughout this nation. Oh, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray. But, oh, Lord, we look forward to the day And we say it together. Would you pray it with me? Even so, say it with me. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We look forward to that day. There'll be peace on the earth, perfect total peace, because you will be reigning and ruling. And we look forward to it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And everyone said amen.